And I'd like to just encourage us tonight from, of course, from the Word of God. Then we get into the missionary, a couple of updates there. Then, of course, the prayer time. And, of course, if, you know, if you feel that, Satan's been kind of hitting hard lately, perhaps this week, Satan's made some, maybe some inroads and you kind of feel kind of beaten down. May this encourage you, friends. May we be reminded that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. Sometimes we get, you know, I get distracted or, you know, I forget that we are in such dire circumstances. I might be entangled with the affairs of this life. Don't be entangled. But one thing's for certain, Satan, he doesn't forget. He's out to destroy us every single day. And so perhaps we feel kind of, you know, discouraged a little bit, maybe kind of worn down, maybe weary. Don't be weary in well-doing. May I encourage you and I, my friends, may we be encouraged by God's word to fight the good fight. And so tonight, the message is entitled, Shields Up. That's from Ephesians chapter 6, specifically about our shield of faith. So let's turn there, Ephesians chapter 6. And so keep that shield up, you know, and so that's what God desires. And just a reminder, of course, the whole armor of God, but above all, as the scripture says. So we'll get into that, just how much of a necessity it is to have our shield of faith. And, you know, we kind of feel like we're getting beaten up spiritually by Satan. We need to get our shield and block it right there. And so quench his fiery darts. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And then verse 16, the Word of God says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we are born again, forgiven of all our sins because of Jesus, his sacrifice, and given eternal life through his blessed resurrection to all who believe, simply believe only in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, thank you for being eternally yours, born again, a child of God, but also a soldier in your army. So help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, and above all, taking the shield of faith. And so, Father, bless now the preaching of thy word. Encourage your saints tonight, Lord. Help us to be, you know, just nourished and prepped up to go out again to battle, that we fight the good fight till you call us home to glory. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You know, pray for our family. We do have more sick folks. Now, that said, we do have some of the kids that are back. They were sick last week. Now they're back. Praise God. But Gina got hit pretty hard, and so she was Tuesday, Wednesday, pretty much stuck in bed, couldn't even get the strength to get out. Today she crawled out, so she's doing better. Gracie got hit pretty hard Tuesday night, so she's had a fever and all that. Thankfully, some of us didn't get sick. Not all of us did. But, you know, it just wears on you. So I'd like to just encourage us tonight, no matter the circumstance, no matter how down and out we might feel, don't lose faith. Don't be weary in well-doing. Of course, we know that faith, without faith, we can't please God. But kind of a reminder tonight that it's not just about pleasing God, but faith is also absolutely necessary to protect us. So it's about pleasing God with faith, but also to protect us so we can serve God to please him. But faith is absolutely necessary to protect us from Satan's attacks. Then, of course, the context here is in battle, in a spiritual battle with the shield of faith. And so I want to just touch on that a little bit, just to get our thoughts thinking. And I have I stuck up a blanket up here. It's not meant to be a blanket. It's meant to be a shield. Okay, so I just want to illustrate here. But again, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. And so scripture likens our faith to a spiritual shield. Now, for context, the shield, of course, is a Roman soldier's primary defense armament. Okay, now sometimes called a body shield, but just a shield generically, but it is a tall and rectangular, in fact, the dimensions is about 4 feet high by 2.5 feet wide. It's made out of different kinds of woods that are kind of interconnected, so they're locked into place and then enhanced and strengthened with metal. And then there's also leather on it, and it's slightly curved. Not a semicircle, but close. And so you have a pretty good-sized portable barrier that you can bring with you, and it can easily cover yourself as a soldier. In fact, so I have the I'm going to hopefully do this right here. Okay, yes. And so I really wanted to bring one of our couch cushions that was about the same dimensions, but I thought it'd probably get mucked up in the parking lot or something. So I settled for this because it's logistics, right? You got to get it here. But this is approximately the size of a Roman shield, plus you kind of curve it a bit, okay? But the idea is about 4 feet in height, 2.5 feet in width. And so can you imagine now, imagine this is sturdy, okay? You imagine it's super sturdy. Of course, the grip part is somewhere down here, okay, like that. But you can easily cover yourself if you're in battle. You know, you kind of crouch a little bit and boom, boom, you're fine. Boom, still here. Boom, peekaboo. I mean, you're totally protected. I mean, this is huge. And so I just want to share this because I like it to myself to click. Like, okay, I know faith is important to protect myself, but when you think of the imagery of a shield, it becomes a no-brainer. And then you have a soldier without a shield, they're like, okay, I mean, you can kind of, it's a lot easier to kind of block with the shield arrows than it is to dodge it. It's a lot easier to block bullets and you can't dodge bullets. Okay, but the idea is when you think of a shield, it becomes a no-brainer. It guards against essentially all attacks, swords, spears, arrows, burning oil, lions, all right? You can just put the shield between you, you're okay, okay? And so it's huge. And so the idea of a shield, it gives complete protection. And because of that imagery of what a shield can do, God himself calls himself Abraham's shield. Remember, God uses that metaphor to address himself, to describe himself to Abraham. Remember Genesis 15, God says, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." God calls himself Israel's shield. Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, God says, "O Israel, who is like unto thee, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help." God calls himself Israel's shield. Now, our shield, remember, now this is huge. Just because we have the shield and the armor of God does not prevent Satan from attacking us. It does protect against his attacks, but Satan is going to be attacking us himself as a roaring lion. But you can also, the context here is fiery darts. And of course, the shield would deflect, in fact, nullifies Satan's attack, making it completely ineffective. Boy, those darts can be burning hot. But when the scripture says quench, that means to put out, right? Extinguish. And so that's amazing. Not just to guard against the physical impact, which is bad enough, okay? It's bad enough to get hit by a dart. And again, dart in the Old Testament, in the archaic King James English, the dart is not just what we would think, you know, throwing darts. Okay. That's not those kind of darts. Darts were typically called for spears or javelins. And so long pole arms that you throw, and then missile attacks, okay? Long-range weapons, including arrows. And, of course, arrows, you can light them on fire, you know, and you shoot. And so it's not just the impact that the shield guards against, which is bad enough. It's also the fire that spreads. And the idea is if the arrow doesn't kill you, well, the fire will. It'll just burn up and consume. And someone that gets shot and is burning, well, hopefully the fire can spread, can hurt and burn others. And so it's. I mean, this is serious. I mean, this is not just slap on the wrist stuff. This is life and death, okay, in the idea of course, we cannot lose our salvation, but Satan wants to destroy us this side of glory. He can't take our soul, but he can, you know, he will attack and persecute God's people. And so be armed with the shield of faith. And so taking the shield, and scripture says here, above all, taking the shield of faith, that is an active and deliberate choice. It is a deliberate decision that we have to take. God has equipped us, just as in 2 Peter, he's given us all the Christ-like Christian attributes, but we've got to use it in us. Just like that, God has equipped us with all this spiritual armor, but we've got to suit up, okay? We've got to put it on. And what a thought. It is a choice to put on the whole armor of God and take our shield of faith as we go out every day. As we go out every day, go out armed to battle as you face the day. Don't be distracted and just kind of stroll out into the world and be an easy target. You know, I think of, well, it's not November, but you think of hunting season. We don't want to be the deer that's just like oblivious that all the hunters are out there and just kind of doing his own thing, and then next thing, and he's someone's trophy, right? I mean, the idea is wake up, understand that Satan is as a roaring lion. This is war. And so don't make shipwreck. And so when Scripture says, above all, that's a wonderful word, not so much that the shield of faith is more important than any other part. Of course, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girdle of truth. I mean, they're all equally important. And not just is it saying in addition to, but literally above all, meaning upon all. And so the idea is this, the shield of faith, unlike the other pieces of armor, the other pieces of armor are more, like in a battle, they're more passive, okay? In other words, if I don't realize it, if I didn't see the enemy coming, my helmet on my breastplate, I still have the armor on. But the shield takes a deliberate action. If the attack is coming from here, I got to be paying attention, okay? And so it's coming from here, and they're like, oh, deflected. Over here, oh, blocked it. Over there, blocked it, you know? Whereas if the other body armor, you have it anyway. And so even if, not to say you're not paying attention, you get hit, you're still wearing the armor. But the idea is the shield is the first line of defense. And in fact, the shield protects the rest of the armor. Hopefully, if the shield of faith does its job, the rest of the armor won't even get scratched. I mean, that's the idea. So, you know, just because I got my helmet and the enemy shoots an arrow, I'm not going to just, I'll take it. No, you guard it with the shield of faith. And so the idea is the shield of faith, essentially, above all, upon all, guards the rest of the armor. Okay, so that it's huge. What a focus. And again, the other armor, I don't know. Again, this is not to say speculation, but I would rather guard a sword swing or a dart with my shield first than to just chance it. I think my breastplate could take it. No, it couldn't. I mean, so again, guard with the shield first. You know what I'm saying, right? And so that's why it means above all, just use a shield. And a Christian soldier who is fully decked with the armor of God, who can use his shield wisely, properly, to intercept those attacks. Praise the Lord. That's how we fight the good fight. You know, it must be actively and strategically placed between us and the enemy attacks. Hence, we got to be vigilant. We got to be sober. Wherever the attacks may come from, that's where the shield goes. And so now this is all just in my mind, you know, an action movie, okay? But the idea to apply it spiritually, if there is an avenue of my life that Satan is attacking, that's where the shield needs to go. If it's and Satan attacks in multiple ways. Again, the fiery darts. Again, I mentioned all those different weapons, and they are launched suddenly at a distance. And in real life, how they play out. You know, Satan attacks our soul with discouragement, with doubt, with fear, even with envy. I think of John the Baptist. He's one of my heroes. But he got so discouraged in prison. Remember, he began to doubt the Lord. Who would ever see that coming? I mean, you never thought John the Baptist would doubt, but he's fallible like anyone else. And our spirit is intertwined with our body, with our physical. And that's why fasting, for example, even though we fast from physical food, it strengthens the spirit. It's pretty amazing. Even though you're abstaining from the physical, your spiritual goes up. But the reverse is also true. You can get physical trauma or physical hardship, and that can wear on your spirit, you know. And, you know, like, you know, you get sick, and then all of a sudden you don't feel like reading your Bible. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because it goes, they're intertwined. And so if you go to Luke chapter 7 with me, here's notice this. This is what pushed John over the edge. And it can happen to any one of us. It happened to John. Certainly none of us are exempt from these emotions. Obviously, the more severe the hardship, the more attacked and how weaker our faith can become. So let's go to Luke chapter 7. And this is kind of a short account here. And I actually want to start a little bit before what John tells his disciples to ask Jesus. But I want us to see what leads up to that. So Luke chapter 7, let's go to verse 12. And so it actually starts in a very wonderful way. Jesus raises the dead. And so look at this here. Luke 7, verse 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Again, she was so beside herself for her dead son. And so now she's you know, her husband is already dead. Now she's a widow indeed, no other caregiver. And Jesus is prompted by his compassion to help her. I don't know if she even noticed Jesus was there. Okay, so she was just crying her eyes out. Jesus sees her crying, and he's moved by his compassion to help her. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And so he raises the young man for the mother's sake, take care of mom. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God. So, you know, God gets the praise, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. So it's everything's great. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Jesus is doing miracles, and he healed this dead man's this dead man, and the mom is no longer a widow indeed. She's got her son to take care of him, take care of her. And then look at verse 18. And the disciples of John showed him all of all these things. And John is, of course, in prison. And he knows his time is coming to a close, and he did not expect this. He's just some dungeon, and he felt forsaken of God. And this is what prompted John. This is what he was down to begin with, but this is kind of what pushed him over the edge, where from verse 18 is when, and in Matthew it says the same thing, they tell John, hey, Jesus is doing all these miracles. This widow woman, she thought she was done for, but Jesus raised her son. And so now he's back with his mom. They're having Thanksgiving together, and they're having a good time. I don't know, you know, and John just sitting there is like, really? But this is what pushed him over the edge. And of course, verse 19, and John calling unto him two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? The discouragement, the doubt and fear is only magnified when John sees others being blessed, but not him. And that's easy for any one of us to kind of feel this way. Like, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Why is this person who's not even half as devoted as I am, you're blessing him with twice as much? You can use any example. And you start thinking, that's not fair. Lord, why? Maybe, God, I know you're just, so maybe there is no God. I don't know. Is Christianity even worth it? Is it real? Of course, we know it's real. I'm just saying, In the depths of our discouragement and sorrow, this is how severe John's faith. He had kind of a crisis of faith. Now Jesus, of course, corrects him. He got offended in Christ, and of course, he praised the Lord for what Jesus showed his disciples. Yes, indeed, it is the Lord. But again, any one of us can feel this way. You know, like why am I even going to church? Why do I even read a Bible? Why do I even pray? Right? I mean, that's a common one. If God doesn't answer your prayers, might as well not pray. I mean, that's the human logic to it, okay? But again, the idea is that's where I need to put my shield of faith, okay? Because that's where Satan's attacking. Satan attacks our soul with discouragement, doubt, fear, and envy. That's where the shield of faith needs to go to block that, to extinguish those flames, okay? Because the flames are going to consume our joy is going to just burn right up. And then Satan also tempts our flesh with pleasure, want, and pride. You know, I think of King David. sinning with Bathsheba. We know that story, ends up committing adultery with her and then, you know, murdering Uriah. I mean, that's horrible. And so when we have the attacks of Satan, I mean, these are not just flesh wounds. These are mortal wounds. And Satan desires to destroy. And so we need our shield of faith. When the scripture says, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. To be able, that means that's God enabling us and empowering us supernaturally to quench. Now, this is awesome because every fiery dart, doesn't matter what kind of style, what kind of temperature, what kind of attack Satan launches at us, if we have our shield of faith, we can quench it all. That is awesome. I think of the Apostle Paul, and didn't matter what hardship he went through, within, without, too hot, too cold. I mean, you name it, too high, too low, doesn't matter. He kept on for the Lord. That shield of faith, and it can deflect any bombardment. It can quench any fiery attack from Satan. We need the shield. Whenever Satan makes us doubt, put our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, scripture says it this way. 1 John 5, you know, when Satan says, you can't, you won't, you'll never, may our answer back to him be, by God's grace, I can and will. And so let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and then let's go to verse 4. Remember this. For whosoever is born of God, what did the scripture say? Overcometh the world. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And by the way, Jesus didn't just save me from sin. He's our Savior from everything. Everything he saves us from, okay? Our enemies, he saves us from. Our frenemies. Sometimes not frenemies, okay? He saves us from impossible situations, fear and terror, storms and the floods of life. Even our own weakness, he saves us from. Everything, not just going to hell. I mean, that's the biggest, of course. But even our daily life, he saves us from every shortfall. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. Because God always has his all-sufficient grace. But we can only receive God's grace by faith. Have to believe it. It's not on God, it's on us. Because God supplies it, but I need to receive it by faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do we realize just how significant it is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's go to Matthew 11. The Lord says something amazing here. Matthew 11. And notice this in verse 27. Matthew 11, verse 27. And Jesus says it this way. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And so Jesus Christ, the totality of God, all things of God the Father, if you want to think of an infinite span of power, of glory, of majesty, think of God the Father, so infinite glory, right? Infinite power, just from infinite east to infinite west. From everlasting to everlasting. So you think of this this infinite span of glory is funneled into one person, Jesus Christ. That's amazing. All of God the Father is in God the Son. So outside of God the Son, nothing. Outside of Jesus, no blessing. Everything of God the Father is in God the Son. When we receive and believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we have him. We also have what? All the blessings of God. I mean, it's amazing. Everything from God funneled into Jesus. Then we believe in Jesus. Boom, we got it. We locked in. That's great. Some context. In verse 25 and 26, Jesus says this. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Babes meaning those who are humble, to know that we can't do it of ourselves. Those that simply trust in Jesus, as opposed to the wise and prudent who are wise in their own conceits, okay, where they think they got it, i.e. the Pharisees. And so those babes, they might not be learned theologians. They might not be scholars that have gone to seminary. They, in fact, might be the lowliest of class that Jesus was, you know, was ministering to. You can think of the beggars, the blind man, the guy with the leprosy, you know, and the harlots. You can think of this, all these unlearned individuals. So babes, as far as very little Bible knowledge, but guess what? They are 100% believing in Jesus. He is their only hope. And then you have the wise and prudent, the scribes, the Pharisees, you know, the lawyers, these guys who, of course, just scoff at Jesus. And so they didn't get it. But those who are utterly depending on Christ, they get it. It says, He revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And by believing in Jesus, they get all the blessings of God the Father through God the Son. And so the idea here is this. God is our shield. And when we trust only in Him, when we believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as our only Savior, not just from hell, but from everything in life, everything. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Let's go to Proverbs 30. What a thought. We'll close here. Proverbs 30. Again, keeping in the theme of shields. God is our shield of faith in Him. Proverbs 30. Let's go to verse 5. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Amen. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Not just Abraham, not just Israel. Anyone. Gentiles included. those babes that again, they know hardly any Bible knowledge. But they knew this much. When they saw Jesus doing those miracles, they said, hey, look at Him heal this dumb and blind man. Isn't this this got to be the Son of David? They figured that out. Of course, leave it up to the wise and prudent, the learned people said, no, he's casting devils out by Beelzebub. We're like, what? That is the dumbest thing. I'm just saying, you see, it's so obvious. It's in Jesus. What a blessing. Our shield of faith. Take it. Arm yourself with it. Don't ever put it down. Maybe when we sleep, okay? But even then, sleep with it, right? And then when you wake up, go into the world with that shield. 4 feet by 2.5 feet, semicircle kind of, and it can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thought, Lord, to be reminded of the necessity of faith, not just to please You, but to protect ourselves. And this is what You've designed. Our shield of faith is how we receive Your grace, which is always sufficient. Father, help us to fight the good fight. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, to take all the whole, put on the whole armor of God, and then above all, taking the shield of faith, Lord, to intercede and intercept the attacks of Satan, to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Help us to be found faithful. We give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.